listening to Bill Martinez live. Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez live.
Sometimes we just need a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, and it's okay. This is a great country. We have a great history. And to that point, our next guest, Javi Davis, is with us. They had a Magna Carta conference in Los Angeles this past weekend, which celebrated the 800th anniversary of representative government and due process. Javi, of course, is the president of the American Freedom Alliance and editor of the Intermediate Zone, whose work has appeared in hundreds of papers and periodicals throughout the world, including the LA Times, Chicago Tribune, Philadelphia Inquirer, The Australian, and regularly in The American Thinker. Javi, welcome to Bill Martinez. Always good to have you with us. How you doing, sir?
Good, Bill. Terrific to be with you again.
Well, I know you've been busy. Congratulations on this conference. You know, as I say, we need to be reminded. You know, we need to look back and look at the foundation of our country and the history and just what a exceptional and extraordinary document the Magna Carta was.
Absolutely. And I have, over the last several days, acquired even more reverence for the processes that brought not only Magna Carta into being, but our entire political and social structure as a result of it. Mm. It's been an awe-inspiring conference and couple of days, and I'm just it's a remarkable thing in human history, the Magna Carta. It really initiated a whole process that ended in the creation of the United States and Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution, which were in themselves revolutionary documents. And the liberties we enjoy today would not have been possible without the Magna Carta.
Exactly. I mean, we're looking at the 13th century, early 13th century, and it was, I guess, in a sense, you could say a coalition of people's minds, I mean, political minds, philosophical minds, who all came together and said, wait a minute, you know, for the history of the world and the things that we've lived here, is there a better way?
Well, Bill, not exactly. What happened in the Magna Carta was really a self-interested document. The Norman barons who had come over from Normandy with the William the Conqueror had become used to a certain range of autonomy and feudal power and had been circumscribed by the king, by King John, who was a tyrannical king and had exercised powers which were inimical to the exercise of feudal power by the barons. So they got together, there were 25 of them, who forced John basically into a contract between himself and these barons. And it was really a self-interested document. They were, if you read it today, you find all kinds of things that are seem fairly trivial, like setting fish traps in the Thames or Warner's rights and duties in the king's forests. All these things seem to be rather silly to our view today. But what does emerge from the document, maybe it was even accidental, but is the concept of due process, the idea of equality before the law, the idea that you cannot be imprisoned without charge, or with the guarantee of a fair trial. And then the beginnings of representative government, that the king, more important than anything, Bill, was the idea that the king was subservient to the law. The law stood above the king, mm-hmm. and the king didn't make the law. This is a revolutionary idea, and without mm-hmm. question, it is the principal idea behind the founding of the American Republic. And it was given birth, really, in 1215 at Runnymede with King John, the signing of the sealing of the Magna Carta.
Mm-hmm. I guess my perception, Avi, and my statement was based on the nuance that you just brought reference to, the representative government, the fact that, you know, it wasn't about the king any longer, which was quite revolutionary. And I imagine a bit insulting to the king to say, what do you mean? I'm not the, you know, the law of the land, that it was the law to take precedence, in order to, you know, I guess, you know, level out the playing field, so to speak.
That's true. And what is even more interesting, frankly, and something that has really shaken me quite a bit, is that this wasn't an original idea at the time. It was already centuries old. That the Anglo-Saxons, and I'm not talking about necessarily even the Anglo-Saxons who one day populated the island of England. I'm talking about the Anglo-Saxons who came from Germany, from the German lands. Not that they were German, not as we understand them today, very different peoples. But they came with the idea that their king was just the first amongst equals, that he would consult with his people, that he served his people, and that there was that if you were accused of a crime, you had to go before a council or a jury to assess whether you had committed the crime. These things were embedded in Anglo-Saxon culture as long ago as the 5th century AD. And so 800 years, even before King John signed the Magna Carta, there was a tradition amongst the English-speaking peoples for these kind of rights and these kinds of liberties. And this is what is so compelling about the whole Magna Carta story. What happened is that the Norman barons adopted the culture and ideas of their Anglo-Saxon subjects. In many ways, they went native, you know, and it was it was revolutionary.
Right. Did the king understand, you know, in terms of, you know, in signing the Magna Carta, did he really have a grasp of its significance at that time?
Well, the king repudiated the Magna Carta almost immediately. I mean, he wasn't a good guy, King John, by any stretch of imagination. But he was very much in the mold of his predecessors. All of the previous kings had been rather rapacious and greedy and willful and determined to maintain their control over events. You know, the king certainly understood this as a rebellion. I don't think he understood that this marked a watershed in history. Not at all. I think that he saw this as a rebellion. And really, the Magna Carta only became significant in English life towards the end of the 13th century under the reign of Edward I. And then its heyday was reissued about 40 times. Up until the 17th century. Its heyday was the 17th century, the mid-17th century, during the English Civil War, where the English actually usurped the crown and cut off the head of the king for his tyranny. And Magna Carta was extremely important at that point. And the fact that the British subjects could do that gave rise to not only the events of the 18th century, but created the English Constitution and many other things.
Well, Avi, we're out of time. Avi Davis has been with us commenting on the Magna Carta Conference.